sign-up sheet just beyond the double doors. When addressing the board, please state your name and your address. To the board, you have received copies of the minutes of the October 28, 2014 meetings. Are there any corrections or additions?
Okay, I move that we adopt the minutes as read.
I'll second.
It's been properly moved and seconded that the minutes of the October 28th meeting be adopted as read. Are there any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion show by raise of the right hand. The motion is carried unanimously. The orders from the previous meeting. I'm going to deviate slightly from the agenda that you might have. I'm going to call on the acting planning director, Tommy Paradise. We had a mediation meeting in Columbia on a ruling by the zoning board concerning the Keystone Construction Company, one of their projects. He will give us a closeout status as a result of that mediation meeting.
Mr. Paradise.
Mr. Chairman, Tommy Paradise, interim planning director. I received a call today from the building official and asked me to review the site on Fox Haven where the house that was built too close to the property line. They're making renovations out there to comply with the zoning ordinance. Went out there, pulled a tape measure from the front of the footer to the house next door. It exceeded 20 feet. Went to the back of the new footer, pulled a tape measure, and it was 20 feet and some odd inches. So they're making modifications to bring it into compliance. I've got some photographs here I'll pass around. One of the things it's tough to see, the boards and stuff are on top of the footer to keep the rain out of it so that they can probably pour it tomorrow. But it gives you an idea of how they're correcting it. They basically took half the wall off, the front half of the side wall off, cut the concrete about a foot over, and then straight down. And then, of course, they had to put a footer there for the new exterior wall to take the load. You have any questions for me? Yes,
sir. So they have dropped or will drop the appeal?
My understanding is that's closed. That's done. And this will satisfy the zoning ordinance, and we'll move on.
Formal closeout, would the planning director issue a memo to file closing this out, the appeal out formally?
Excuse me?
I said, will the planning director issue a memo to file closing this out?
I have not thought about it, but I certainly can, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll move directly into old business. Application 15-92001 will not be heard tonight. It has been canceled. Application 15-92001 will not be heard tonight because it has been canceled. I call your attention to application 15-90001, an appeal of administrative decision regarding the design at 313 Chesterfield Street, Zone RML. To the city, has this been properly posted?
Yes, it has.
Any inquiries you wish to share with the board?
No, but if I may, perhaps we could hold both applications.
I was going to interrupt you and say we want both.
I'd like to make a correction on agenda item C, that zone should be also RML.
Thank you. Even though we will hear both applications, To close, to conclude, we will require two separate motions to dispense with both. Thank you. You may proceed.
The application before you is twofold. It's from Gary Skeen. And the first decision to be made is regarding an administrative decision which would return the northern 5-foot setback variance back to the board for consideration. The administrative decision specifically settled on the design of the garage, which is held to not be in keeping with the approved design originally. It specifically, the interim planning director found that the pitch and height of the garage exceeds the pitch and height of the house, and that is before you as Exhibit I, G and F in this administrative memorandum. If the board finds that the decision to return the northern setback to the board for affirmation, given that the garage design is different, if the board finds that that was a wrong decision on the part of the administrator, then you don't need to proceed to the variance application, which is the second of Gary's applications. Typically, when we have an administrative appeal, in order to expedite it, we will hold both the appeal hearing and then, should the appeal hearing find merit in the administrator's decision, we can just, boom, go right into the variance hearing. And that's what we're doing tonight. The variance application would address, again, a request to reaffirm that the northern side setback distance of 5 feet remains in effect, even though the garage has been modified by both height and roof pitch. Initially, when the garage was under construction, the thinking was that it was going to be a 1.5-story structure.
One story.
But, and the board had approved a 1-story. But as construction proceeded, we find that it does not meet the definition of having an upper story, which in the zoning ordinance states that there has to be headroom of 7 feet, and it, but per building code, it would have to have, you know, a proper staircase. It has neither of those, as you can see in the exhibits. Oh, here, but I have exhibits. I'm so busy talking. I'm sorry. This is the design that was approved with the original northern 5-foot setback. And in this, you could see that the garage is roughly in keeping with this house, portion of the house here, both in height and in roof pitch. And however, the applicant built the garage so that there was adequate attic space for storage, and in doing so exceeded the height of the house by, let me see, I think a couple feet.
Almost 1.5.
I wrote this a long time ago.
I think it was 2 to 4 feet.
And, but it's not a 1.5-story structure because the upper floor does not meet the definition of being a story. The applicant feels that if the board does not uphold his appeal, that there is merit in reaffirming the variance setback because substantially the same conclusions which were drawn initially are still in effect, the responses to the 7 conditions. He has also provided photographs which are in your staff report showing that how well that it fits in well with the neighborhood, the existing homes, their roof pitch and construction. This was a complicated application initially because the applicant had asked for 3 different forms of construction which would occur, first the garage and then the house addition and then a breezeway connecting the two. What we have found is that he has made significant progress in that work and in fact has completed the exterior of the house addition, completed the exterior of the breezeway, and is almost ready to complete the exterior of the garage well before his May deadline in 2015. There has been delay, of course, to bring this back to the board, and he stopped work on the garage once he was notified of this situation. So what is before you tonight, and here are a few pictures of the breezeway and its connection to the garage. And you can see the breezeway is still under construction, but fairly well along, and the garage still needs its exterior siding. So what is before you in this sequence is first to determine whether the administrator was correct in questioning the garage design and bringing it back to the board. If you find that the administrator was correct, then you would move on to making a motion regarding the variance itself. One last note. When we've had appeals in the past, we've always stressed at how it would impact citywide. Definition of dwelling unit, a number of things. It would be something that we would then implement citywide. In this situation, it's site-specific. We're only looking at this one thing. I do want to make that clear.
Do we have questions to the city?
I have one question, Mr. Chairman. Subsequent to our hearing in the variance, we did approve on October 2013. Did the applicant submit any additional building permits, and did any of those contain drawings of the garage?
We examined all the submitted building permit applications, and there was nothing that deviated too much from the conceptual drawing.
The original conceptual drawing that was submitted to the board with the variance application that we did approve.
There's a wrinkle. There's always a wrinkle. And there's a wrinkle in this one, which is that when we did that approval, the one you cited, in order to try to make things clear, we sort of said all the other approvals are moot and we'll start fresh, because we've had a bunch of hearings on this, and we were getting a little confused with carryover conditions. So we wiped everything clear and we started fresh. So essentially what we did in doing that is that we lost some of the specificity we had from the earlier hearings and motions, and that's why it was an administrative decision that we want to bring back to you. Otherwise, if it was really clear, we would have just kicked it as a variance over.
But the only thing we saw as far as a conceptual blueprint or a sketch was the one-story plan.
No, I can't answer that yes or no, because when the applicant submits for a building permit, they will show parts of the building, but they don't always show what you would think they would show, which is a new elevation. So they would take maybe a rough concept, and then they would show how parts of it are being built. It's not always as coherent as one would like.
But the only thing the board saw...
Correct.
...was a one-story plan.
Well, what you saw, what the board motioned approval for, was a one-story structure.
Thank
and
you.
This is technically a one-story structure.
I have a question for the city.
Yeah,
can you clarify that your definition of what would consist of something more than one story? Had to have its own stairwell, had to have 7 feet. Can you go on with that?
Yes, there are two codes that come into play here. The building code, which would require that you have a formal staircase, and in this one it's a drop down, and then the zoning ordinance, which under the definition requires that you have 7 feet of headroom in order for it to count as a floor. And in this case, due to the way his trusses are, you really have very little standing room, and that truss exhibit is shown in your staff memorandum.
So if it should have those two criteria, it would be labeled as a what?
As a floor.
So it would be a two-story then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in this case...
There is no one and a half.
Well, one and a half is perhaps an informal
okay.
word. But in this case, it's a one-story with an attic.
Okay.
I'm going to take exception to your calculation that there's only 7 feet of uninterrupted floor space, standing space, between the floor and the cross braces, the top brace on the thrusses.
No, what I meant to say is that there has to be at least 7 feet of headroom for it to count as a floor.
Yeah, and it looks like there's far more than 7 feet of headroom.
But
the question is, you know, what would be the lateral measurements? Is it reasonable to use it as a second-story room?
7 feet is the minimum,
mm-hmm.
so you can have more. And we don't get into lateral in the definition.
Yeah, so there's plenty of room to call that a space to call that a room or use it as a room, storage or otherwise.
Well, the truss system, which is required, and there's an exhibit showing that truss system for the specs, would preclude much walking room.
Yeah, but those familiar with trusses, these aren't scissor trusses or any other kind of trusses. It's quite clear that these were engineered to produce a headroom, you know, for use, you know, underneath the top cross braces. That's quite clear.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. For the board's information, I and staff had several meetings with the applicant, and the results of those meetings clearly, in my mind, it showed visually that the height of the garage was higher than the height of the house, which was against what we had approved, and then we measured the pitch as well as the angle of the pitch, and the angle of the garage is smaller than that of the house, which would cause it to be higher. And so rather than making an attempt administrative decision, I felt that this ought to come back to the board because you approved the original design, and it'd be up to you to look at this and to approve the change. And if you approve the change, then we have to go for the variance to what we approved prior to that. Any further questions to the city? Oh, good.
Although I was not on this board when this initial action was taken, let me try to get one thing clear. Since no roof pitch was actually discussed during that meeting, do I understand that correct, that the pitch was not discussed? Yes, the drawings that were submitted at the time appeared to depict a pitch similar to that of the house. Is that
correct?
Okay. So this action that you're asking for in 2B, Roman numeral 2B, is simply to say, yes, the building official acted accordingly in stopping what he was seeing built. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, and that it needs a variance.
And it thus needs a variance. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Well, let me just make one comment. It's probably not the best of business practices by this board to be accommodating to the applicants and allowing them, you know, some economy in terms of drawings. You know, we haven't required full blueprints and things, and we accept things pretty much as presented. And in this particular case, I think as the chairman commented on, you know, we had something that visually was the same roof pitch and the same height as the house, which is important because this is a shotgun lot. And the appearance now is you basically have a garage on the lot and not a house.
Mm-hmm.
Any further questions to the city? Thanks, Sandra. Dr. Skinny?
I'm Gary Skeen, 313 Chesterfield.
Do you wish to embellish the staff report?
Sure, yeah. Sure. The number one issue, if we could put Exhibit G on, thank you.
This?
Oh, Exhibit G, which is a 3D sketch.
Oh.
There you go. I was asked to draw the sketch here. It's a 3D sketch. And if you'll notice in the lower left-hand corner, the only real writing here says proposal, showing what the breezeway. I can't read it from here, but showing that there's a breezeway. That was the purpose of that sketch. It took about 3 minutes for me to draw it, just to comply with the request that was made of me. And its sole purpose is to show that there is a breezeway between the house and the garage. The pitch of these roofs were not even a tertiary concern when this drawing was composed. In fact, I mean, I can show you, number one, as a 3D sketch, the height or the line of perspective is so high, who knows if what those garage pitches would be if they were seen at floor ground level. Again, sole purpose of that sketch was to show a breezeway and the porch in between the garage. That was the only way that I was going to be able to build the garage without it butting up against the house. The first structure, the original structure, actually the pitch of that roof, that's the original 1885 structure, actually goes in the other direction. So again, roof pitch had absolutely nothing to do with that particular structure. And may I remind you as well, would you be kind enough to show the protractor showing the angle? The rear roof of that 1885 structure is exactly the 40 degree of the garage that was constructed. People back then knew how to build roofs in forests, as we have here in Aiken. And it makes a lot of sense to have a high-pitched roof in this town, both when ice storms are knocking branches off of roofs and because of the amount of leaf collection that takes place, destroying roofs, particularly in the valley sections of the roofs. Mr. Pattern indicated that he felt that the truss system was going to provide headroom. I have to disagree with you, sir. That entire attic space is filled with beams and trusses, and there is no clear walking space up in that attic. And frankly, I'm surprised that you would feel otherwise.
Questions from the board to Doctor? Looks scary.
That's it? Oh, yeah.
Do we have others to speak to the appeal of the administrative decision? Final call. Others to speak to the appeal of the administrative decision? Seeing, hearing none, the chair will now entertain a motion so we can enter a period of discussion.
For the sake of discussion, I'll make the motion that the administrative decision by the building official that the garage is not similar to the design shown on the September 24, 2013 staff memorandum and other supporting documents. His action was appropriate for what was being done.
Mr. Chairman, I'll second the motion, but just for clarification, the administrative decision was made by the acting planning director.
Thank you.
Not building official.
Thank you. correction so noted.
For the record.
It's been properly moved and second that the planning director's decision be upheld. Am I stating motion correctly?
Yes, sir.
Do we have any discussion?
Well, I think picking up on something that Pat, committee member Pat Arnetti said in terms of our approval of drawings, that is, I think, certainly an area that we need to take a look at. I am a little sympathetic to the applicant only because I believe him, and I was here for the hearing. That drawing was to show the breezeway. I don't think that was a concept drawing as to what the final finished product, roof pitch, all that was to look like. Now, having said that, in the final orders, there is reference to that drawing in terms of the concept and what it should look like. And I think we would all agree that if that roof pitch were presented to us for approval, I don't think any of us would have been too enthusiastic about it, because I think it would dominate the structure, and all you would be, as Pat said, looking at is the garage. But the other conflict is the reason for the administrative by our interim planning director, which states part of his concern was it was a 1.5 story structure, which I think we determined technically it's not. Now, the other part of his administrative concern was that it exceeded the height of the other structures. But I don't know that there was anything in there that had us ask him not to do that, other than what we all thought we were getting when we sort of erroneously took that as a final concept drawing. So again, back to Mr. Paternetti's comment around these drawings and approval on this stuff, I think that's something for the board, not here at this meeting, but to really probably get our arms around. So I am sympathetic to the applicant for those reasons, but I also know what I thought we were approving, and I don't think that's what we're getting. So a bit of a tough call here.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with that. Whenever we approved it, I thought we were approving the garage as it looked like in this drawing. You know, that was not explained, that was only, you know, the breezeway. I looked at the whole concept, and that's what I felt like we were approving.
Let's not forget this was the third hearing, and as Mrs. Korbelik did point out, we did negate any of the previous drawings just not to confuse things. But I think from the beginning, the expectation was that this was going to be the same height, certainly not to exceed the height of the house, which I know I personally had a lot of concern about, the integrity of this lot, which is a shotgun lot, basically, and concerned with too much surface concrete, house, you know, the whole space disappearing, and, you know, it being dominated by, you know, a garage up front.
This was a good example of a lesson learned, I think, too bad. Any further discussion? Those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. Those opposed, same sign. The motion is carried 5-1. The chair will now entertain a motion on the variance request application. Fifteen nine three zero zero one.
Mr. Chairman, would this, I mean, since this was not, since we approved the decision of the administrator, this has nothing to do with anything now, does it? Do we still have to approve or disapprove?
Yes.
Because this is based on increasing the height and roof pitch of the garage.
That was the planning director's decision, that it is different and that
right.
It requires a variance. So.
Okay.
The forgive me, but the variance is simply reaffirmation that the 5-foot setback is still valid.
Okay. Then we need to have a discussion of that, or just
what? Right, with the current design, yeah.
With the current design, in other words, with the design on the lot.
Let me call the planning director to the stand if the board wished to ask a question of the planning director for clarification.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Tommy Paradise, interim planning director. The clarification on the variance would be just basically say, okay, the 5, and correct me if I'm misstating, Ms. Corbett, is basically what you see there now is okay. It is, you're approving a variance for what's there now. The 5 feet variance with the roof pitch and the design that's currently in place. Would that be correct?
Yes. The design of the garage presently is not in conflict with any of our zoning standards. The only thing is that they did get a 5-foot setback variance.
But we don't have to reapprove that. We already approved it.
Well, you approved it based on the drawings that you just, based on that drawing. When the roof pitch changed, it no longer complied with the stipulations that was put in that variance request. So the increased roof pitch negated, and you just affirmed that you know, the interpretation was correct, negated the approval of that variance. So he's left with two choices. The board can approve the variance request, which would allow him to keep the trusses like it is, or he would have to remove those trusses and replace them with similar roof structure that met the height and the pitch of the existing house. Am I misquoting that?
Yes, and in fact, whenever there's a change, a significant change to what the applicant presented as what they wanted, we always then question whether it invalidates the foundation of the variance.
But
Judy,
he's not asking approval for a 7.5. I mean, he's not asking approval for this pitch. The only thing he's asking is to just reaffirm the 5 feet.
Yes, because what you thought of when you were granted the 5 feet is not what is out there now.
Right.
And so would you still grant the 5 feet given what's out there now?
So if we upheld his decision,
what you upheld was the director's decision that it's different.
Right.
And that's what triggered the need to then go back to the original variance and say, given what you're looking at today, would you still grant that 5-foot variance?
If it was a clean slate starting all over.
Yep.
Want to reaffirm or reapprove the 5-foot variance,
right.
The 5-foot variance on the setback, we must make a motion to do that. But if we wanted to do that, we would approve to allow the 5-foot northern side setback, period.
Right, for the garage.
For the garage.
Right.
Right. Right.
Which means that the present thrusters have to be replaced.
No,
because...
Yes. Because all I'm making a motion for is to approve the 5-foot northern setback.
Right, and given that the garage is in its current design, you're approving a 5-foot setback for that current design.
But not for a 20-foot tall 22 by 22.5 garage.
I think I see what you're saying. You're not tying, but when you do that, you're not tying it to any conceptual plan. If you take the 20-foot tall 22 by 22.5 out of that, then there's no, it can be whatever, because it's not tied to a conceptual plan. Tie it back to this conceptual plan, we go back to square one, or if you deny the variance, you go back to this variance, to what's already been approved.
If our intention was that the garage not have a 5-foot setback,
mm-hmm.
but not exceed the height of the house,
yes, sir.
What would we specify? The ridge of the garage would not exceed the height of the ridge of the house?
And I would, if you wanted to do that, that would be a way to do that, but I would specify the ridge that you're talking about, because in talking with Mr. Skeen, there's several different ridges there. So if you wanted it to line up with that front ridge, you'd need to word that specific. To be that ridge rather than a ridge in the back.
Well, I would say the height of the garage would be the height of the house. And the question is, do we know the exact height of the house?
I think Mr. Skeen has provided that somewhere.
And the house has two heights. The front portion is lower than the back portion.
And that's why I was saying about being specific about which height you want. If you want the higher height or the lower height.
The higher height. The height of the ridge of the main house.
That's the lower height.
That's the lower. Let me find the other.
Because the higher height is on the sides, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. On the garage.
Okay, this is what I've got in my notes, if I may. That the garage is 20 feet from ground level. The addition, which is the front, is 14 feet, and then because of a raised elevation, that would make it 16 feet. So the front portion of the house from the ground to the ridge line appears to be 16 feet.
16
plus
feet.
Plus or minus, right. And the garage from the ground level is 20 feet.
Okay, if you had found the garage to be, the ridge height to be 16 feet, would you have, when you did see it, instead of its present 22 feet, would you have said that complied with the BCA concept plan that we approved?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. The chair will entertain a motion.
Does Gary Skeen need to talk
again?
No. I'll make a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Bad.
Make a motion that we approve a 5-foot northern side setback distance for a 16-foot tall 22 by 22.5 foot garage. Period. Final order to be recorded in the RMC office.
I second.
It's been properly moved and second that we approve the variance request. Do we have any discussion?
Where does that measure from? From where to where?
Hmm?
So the 20 feet measures from where to where?
Oh, that's the width and depth of the garage. 22 by 22.5. That's what we had originally approved. The size of the garage.
So we're not addressing
the width and the depth.
We're not addressing the roof at all?
But,
yeah, that includes
16 feet.
Mr. Chairman.
The height is specified in the motion as 16 feet high, which is the height of the ridge of the house.
All right, I guess I missed that part of your motion.
And for clarification, in the motion, because there's some definitions of height, how to measure height in the zoning ordinance. But that measurement is to be taken from ground to the ridge, top of the ridge, not midway up a gable roof, as we would normally measure the height of a building, but it's from the ground to the ridge. Is that correct?
Okay, 16 feet as measured to the from the ground to the
ridge
to the ridge.
Right. That clarification came from the interim planning director. Thanks.
Any further discussion?
Well, not to continue to cloud the issue, but the motion was to either approve or disapprove it, you know, with the 20 degree or 20 foot tall. Are we not just giving an up or down on that? Or are we trying to go further to specify what we will approve?
I made the motion so that we could reapprove basically what we thought we were approving, what we knew we were approving last time, which was a garage, which was the same height or not to exceed the height of the house, and a 5 foot setback.
I have that. I just meant as a matter of procedure, you know, that's not how the motion is written there.
No, I modified what is written there.
Okay.
Because if the motion was as written there, we would say the present garage is okay at its present height and its present pitch.
If you approve the
20 feet.
Yeah. If you disapprove that motion, I guess the state, where would the state of flux be?
Yeah. The only reason I'm making the motion is planning director says we have to remake the motion because to reaffirm or reapprove the 5 foot setback. And in doing so, specify exactly what we're approving as far as the height of the garage.
Okay.
What's the motion now? Yeah,
would you restate it? Would someone restate the motion?
Would you restate the motion?
You want to repeat the motion? Okay. To approve approval to allow a 5 foot northern side setback distance for a 16-foot tall, 22 by 22.5-foot garage, the height measured from the ground to the ridge. To the ridge line.
Nancy, you okay with that?
When someone seconds it, I want to ask something.
Okay, and you second.
A second.
Yeah, Judy seconded.
Okay. Could he then build a flat roof on it because it says 22 by 22.5, 16 feet?
It gives a height to the pitch, so he can't.
Is that clear that it's to the pitch? I thought I just heard the height, 16 feet tall. To the ridge assumes that there's going
to
be...
From the ground to the ridge.
Okay, and the word ridge assumes...
It's the apex of the...
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
We're not specifying pitch.
No, but I just want to make sure we weren't doing a 16-foot rectangular prism garage.
No, 22 by 22.5-foot garage, 16 feet high as measured from the ground to the ridge.
Okay.
Brandon, you okay?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. The motion is carried unanimously. I call your attention to application 15-93006, a variance request to increase the front fence height and associated variances at 1010 South Boundary in a zone RS 15 and Old Aiken Overlay. to the city? Has this been properly posted?
Yes, it has.
Any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
No, but a short presentation.
Thank you.
The application is brought to you on behalf of Helen Tewksbury and Robert Hines. They had come to the board some time ago for a setback variance. I only mention this to give you a little background. It doesn't truly apply to what they're asking today, but in order to have a side setback variance to construct this building, and I think they're going to put a carport or awning in the front here, and that was approved. They have subsequently installed a 6-foot-tall wooden privacy. They continue their 6-foot-tall wooden privacy fence now to ground the back and sides of the house, and they have noticed some deterioration on their front picket fence, which is 4 feet tall, which they would like to replace with an iron ornamental fence. And this exhibit shows you the existing picket fence here and the iron ornamental fence, the kind of fence they'd like to install here. This is just a concept, but it pretty well depicts what their intentions are. The arguments presented to the board include some concern about crime and some discussion of fences in the neighborhood that are also taller than 4 feet. And I did want to point out to the board that they are on the edge of two overlay zones. They're in the Old Aiken overlay zone, which is blue, but they have the historic zone across the street and then a little farther to the west.
But this property is not in the historic
district. No. But so some of the fences in the neighborhood, should you drive by, they in the historic zone, you can have up to 12 feet. So you have to kind of be aware of where you are when you're driving through the neighborhood. The question before the board, of course, are the six criteria, but the reason for the request, the applicant states, is more concerned about crime in the area. And an issue before the board is how that is unique to this particular property. No one is here to say that the crime is bad or good. I spoke with Officer Turno with the police department here, public safety, and he wasn't going to say if it was bad or good or high or low, because that's such a subjective judgment call. A lot of it is just based on people's feelings. But in driving the neighborhood, I did notice that there was a variety of fencing, and there were many properties with no front fence. So, of course, the six criteria before the board, but the issue is, of course, how is the perception of crime unique to this property?
Any questions to the city
from the board?
Thanks, Sandra. Ms. Tewksbury?
Tewksbury.
Got it. I'm sorry. Tewksbury. Mr. Hine? Either one? Or both?
Come to the
I'm Bob Hines. I'm Mr. Helen Tewksbury.
Thank you. You receive a copy of the staff report. Do you wish to embellish on that report or just respond to and from questions from the board?
Well, no, I'd like to respond to it initially, at least. First, thank you for considering this variance, and in your interest, and with apologies to Mr. Skeen, the math is a lot easier for this one, and I recognize that. One of the things that is different about our property is our life history, the residents. Helen and I are both previous victims of home invasions. And unless you've experienced having someone enter your home in the dark of night when your children are home, you just can't understand how that leaves you sensitive to security. So I think we are a little more sensitive to that than perhaps our neighbors for different reasons. Different addresses, different previous in our past, but still, once that happens, it really kind of makes you sensitive to that sort of thing. Another thing is the occupancy of our home. There's a number of homes in our area who may or may not have fences, who are rentals or seasonal occupancies out there where we live as model horse people. And so, but in our house, those of you who drive in that neighborhood often as not might see Miss Helen out in the front yard working on it. So she spends a lot of time out in the front yard working on it. She's there alone. Then we have grandchildren, and it wouldn't be unusual 2 or 3 days of the week or in the evenings that we have the grandchildren playing out in the front yard. And that's really why originally Helen put up the black picket fence was to keep the grandchildren from running out and to keep bad people from coming in. And so, you know, that's part of it. And then I guess finally was, you know, just looking around our neighborhood, you know, the property next door in the picture, Exhibit B there that was up, you can see the property next door has a 5-foot brick wall completely surrounding their home. There you go. See, if you look at the top picture on the right-hand side, that's the Vauders' property. And then our property is the one with the black picket fence, and it's 5 feet tall. And then we thought when we selected this fence is from the handout that the fellow who was going to put the fence up gave us, is it would just kind of continue along that 5-foot line. And because of the nature of that fence we are proposing to put in, it's really a lot more open, shows off the front yard better. But yet that extra foot, which doesn't seem like a lot, it just kind of, we thought it would make us feel safer and better about our home. And that's really why we were just asking to go to 5 foot. Any questions?
Questions from the board?
Just to clarify a statement you made, those previous home invasions that you and Ms. Tewksbury have, did I say that right, Tewksbury, have been victim to, those weren't at this location?
They were not at this address.
Okay. Have you had occasion, burglaries or break-ins or found it necessary to file police reports?
We had not at our house. However, our neighbors, the Vauders, had a break-in last summer, and a property just around the corner has had multiple break-ins over the last couple of years. It's up on the corner of Colleton and Marlboro.
Yes.
That's a seasonally occupied house, I think, that's a rental. And they've had, about a year and a half ago, they had someone kick the front door open in the middle of the day and run in and take all their electronics and run out. So we're just, you know, aware of those things.
Now, the Vauders are right next door to you?
Yes, ma'am.
And they have a 5-foot fence?
Yeah, that's their brick wall right there.
And they had a break-in?
Yes.
That's Bauer and Dee Dee?
Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Hines, I guess my concern is that we give a variance from the ordinance that applies to the city. And the city has an ordinance that requires a 4-foot fence along the front property line. And I'm afraid that if we make a ruling contrary to that, that we've opened up the rest of the city. I guess you haven't convinced me how 1 foot will make all the difference.
I wish I had some literature in which I could say that extra 1 foot would increase our security or reduce our risk of break-in by 50%. I can't do that. I did try, but I could not find literature to support that decision. It was just that, actually, the overlay district was created or imposed on our neighborhood after Ms. Tewksbury bought the house. So when she bought the house, she wasn't aware of any constraints received the house. She wasn't aware of any constraints on building the fence. Those came in later, but again, that wasn't a decision to be made back then. So I understand your dilemma.
Other questions?
This isn't a question other than my concern is, in order to feel like I could approve this, all these criteria would have to be met. And I'm looking at item one, there are extraordinary and exceptional conditions pertaining to this particular piece of property. And I don't see that one. And then number three, due to these conditions, the application of the ordinance to this particular piece of property would effectively prohibit or unreasonably restrict the utilization of the property. And I don't see that one. And I'm questioning number four a little bit. Not a result of the applicant. They're wanting to do it just for a personal preference. So I guess I need to be convinced on those issues. If someone that's voting in favor of this would like to try and convince me of that.
Other questions from the board to thanks?
Yeah, one question.
But
going with 5 feet, Bob, would match up right with the existing brick fence.
That's correct. The 5 foot fence, the top of that that rail there would be just kind of straight across from the Botter's property.
Right. So it would
aesthetically, it would look.
Yeah.
That's better, but we're not.
I hear you, mm-hmm. And I hear your concerns, but I'm looking at aesthetics, and I'm looking at driving through the area, because I live in the area, up the street from Tewksbury's and Hines, and I see no fence, high fence, 4 foot fence. I just see various kinds of fencing or none at all. So I guess I'm having a problem with, you know, aesthetically. I personally think it would look just fine continuing right on and then going to the corner there and then going back. I guess you would tie it mm-hmm. back into the existing stockade type fence that you have there.
That's correct.
The other six issues notwithstanding.
We just don't have an aesthetic pleasing criteria.
I
guess when I dismiss Mr. Hines, I'm going to ask the zoning official to come back and try to explain why the house next door has a 5 foot fence, and we're debating whether or not to approve this variance. I guess there must be a reason.
Oh, I could explain that, but I'll let him talk to that. It's because of the ordinance was the overlay district was only created a few years ago.
It was grandfathered.
Yeah.
And I would like for the zoning official to state that for the record.
Okay.
Yeah, I noticed another one of those that you you mentioned. It's one of the photos with the white fence in front. I know the house, and I'm sure that one was grandfathered.
I believe most of those probably were.
Yeah. Now the bottom of the bottom right hand corner of A2, exhibit A2. I'm sure that one is grandfathered.
Just the white fence is in the historic district.
Oh, is that historic?
You're looking at 704 South Boundary?
Yes.
Yeah, that's in the historic.
Oh, it's historic? Okay.
Any further questions from the board to Mr. Hines? Thank you.
Thank you.
The zoning, I'll call the zoning official.
Yes.
Would you read yourself into the minutes, please?
Thomas Paradise, zoning official.
And the...
excuse me, sir.
Looking at Exhibit B. The top portion of Exhibit B, would you give me the official explanation for why the neighbor's fence is apparently 5 foot tall and his fence is four?
Prior to 1999, you could have a fence or a wall in any yard.
not exceeding 12 feet in height. This was obviously built prior to that and was the existing non-conforming.
So the other fence is grandfathered?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Ms. Paradise, so if the owner of this house, and I don't know who it was at that time, the Tewksbury's house, had built a 5-foot fence back then,
it would be grandfathered. As long as that fence remained.
Unless they wanted to replace it.
Whenever it came down, just like this brick wall here, mm-hmm. if they tore that brick wall down, new provisions would apply.
If a car crashed through that brick wall and they were just repairing it, they could keep that brick wall.
Probably so.
But if they wanted a new design, they'd have to get a variance to have a taller than 4 feet.
This may sound like a silly question, but how do we measure that? How would we measure the height of the aluminum fence that the applicant's proposing? From the ground to the highest point?
Yes. And usually, when I'm measuring, yeah, it's usually a level.
Yeah.
And I'm going what the majority of it is. If it's got a low point and comes back up, or a little ditch at one end, I tend not to count that against them. It's what the level land. And measured from that to the top.
Okay. The reason I ask is I have a very similar aluminum fence. It's in my rear yard, but I thought it was a 36-inch fence. But I was thinking about this, and I took my tape measure out of the garage and measured. It was 42 inches.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a 36-inch fence.
Right.
So
I think 42 is probably another standard height for
fences. There's another standard height.
Yes, for that. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
It would fit in my math.
But in this case, and I have to admit, I drove by and I got out of the vehicle, but I didn't go on the other side. Does this fence sit on top of that brick?
No.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions for the zoning official? Thanks, Tommy. Do we have others to speak to the various requests? Final call, others to speak to the various requests? Seeing here and none, the chair now entertain a motion so we can move into a period of discussion.
Believe it or not, I'm going to make a motion.
Nothing.
And you're not going to believe it. I'm going to make a motion to approve application 1593006. And how is number one applicable is because if she had moved this fence prior to match the neighbors, I think it is an exceptional condition. And due to your point that it would be more aesthetically pleasing. And we're not supposed to discuss the applicant, but this particular piece of property, the owners would feel more restricted with the lower fence. So that's criteria 3. So I can stretch it, I think, to fit the...
You have an opportunity during discussion to express.
So it's to make a motion to allow the applicant to increase the fence height for a proposed fence at 1010 South Boundary. I need to say the footage. I don't see that written down. To 5 feet with the conceptually drawn picture, not a 5-foot brick fence or a 5-foot picket fence, or conceptually drawn. The final order is recorded in the RMC office, and it runs with the current owner of this property or the proposed fence,
whichever changes.
It's been properly moved and second that we approve the variance request. Now, do we have any discussion?
Did we have a second?
Yes,
Bud.
Okay, and the motion is as
to approve
as written by the staff.
Except that it's as the conceptual that they presented. You know, we don't want somebody
Exhibit
coming
B.
back here.
But I'm just asking, I know you didn't quite read it, but you're setting the same conditions.
That's
5 foot high ornamental fence is conceptually shown in Exhibit B.
Let me see if Exhibit
B. And approval to run with the current owner of the property?
Mm-hmm.
Is that your proposal?
Yes.
Discussion?
Running with the let me make sure I'm clear that the approval runs with the current owner of the property, period.
Is that correct? Said or the proposed fence.
Or the proposed fence. Is it whichever changes last? Okay, so you're wanting the whole approval runs with the current owner or the proposed fence, whichever's last.
Is that what you seconded?
Well, that's okay. I just mm-hmm. want to make sure that's the way I understand it.
I have to agree with something that Bud mentioned, that, you know, aesthetically, this is more pleasing. I like these things. I've been very pleased with mine, but kind of repeating something that Nancy mentioned early on, her question of whether or not this met the criteria. And frankly, I can't see where it does.
Brenda, did you?
I trying to get to all six criteria stuff, as sympathetic as I am around security and things of that nature, 4 to 5 feet, I don't think really solves that problem. I mean, perceptually, it might, and that's all up to the applicant. I mean, they certainly can feel more secure with that. I think realistically, I don't know that solves a real security issue, and I don't quite have the same stretching machine that Nancy's got for a couple of these other criteria, so...
As much as I hate to say it, I cannot see where it meets criteria 1 and 2. As much as I hate to say that. Well, remembering that a motion is just to get it out there for discussion.
No.
Any other discussion? No. Hearing none, those in favor of the motion, show by raising the right hand. Those opposed the motion, same sign. The motion is defeated, 5-1. With that, I'm going to call for a 5-minute recess.
I'm Roger LaDuke. And if you don't believe it, I am.
fix that. Interim on there.
Well,
he's one of the interims. At least he's kind of like the drifters, you know.
To be an interim.
I tell you what, something's got to happen in Plain City. I mean, we've had such a good structure to work with all these years, and all of a sudden, is there any chance that she could be named planning director? I certainly hope so that we have some continuity here. You know, Susan French is retired too.
No, I don't know.
But yeah, I agree with
that. But I really didn't see the
way we're sitting out here. That you think.
Right.
Well, they need to stop short.
And I agree. I couldn't see where somebody used to like an airport. But are we hard and fast
as well as plain as possible?
You know, if it didn't have any of these,
I agree, but somebody's got to do something. No, it has to be. Also, we need to get on Gail Diggs. Why can't she done something about it?
I was looking at it.
Yeah.
But the looks is going to me, it's going to look silly. That brick fence is so dominant there. And that's been there forever. That brick fence is the water's house.
Well, should we get a letter signed by all of us saying we need help?
It's going to look silly. To me, I think that's a pretty look silly like it is. Match it up.
Y'all play politics, okay.
But it, in those things, though, it kind of makes their house.
I prayed he would be here.
Makes the house look cute.
Mine was a vote in principle. That thing, going back to the light fixture on the gate, I tell you, I'm going to vote again until we tell you.
That's not.
I think we're putting a. It's starting to become unfair to the applicant when our inference isn't made clear. That's my only problem.
But anyway, I was just trying not to muddy the water, make it land long. Last meeting, he pulled it because he felt like I was being unfair. So I figured if y'all had met me, I was just going to sit back.
Well, that was nice of you.
We have a reasonable expectation, and I think it was, it was clear that wasn't what we expected. Sometimes I really think we're a little too early.
I want to show you something.
And staff is certainly. I know it's presented to us with the.
If I can find the right drawing.
We could say, stop the music. We don't have a blues drum.
I think in some cases we should. That would have changed my whole thing right there. We should have pulled you up. I wouldn't have made my protest vote then.
Now, you can't really tell in this diagram, so I took it back.
I don't know if I would have been deciding whether you lose, and I was with a protest vote. I wouldn't even have given that protest vote if I had two terminals. That's a game changer, and explain what the difference was. My question was, you really have a difference. I was literally drawing.
And that was the show's breezeway.
We're now resuming the scheduled meeting of the Board of Zoning Appeals. That was the end of the old business. We move into new business. I call your attention to application 1593007, a variance approval request for a proposed electronic reader board on the marquee sign and associated variances at 124 Newberry Street Southwest, and is on RSS and historic overlay. To the city, has this been properly posted?
Yes, it has.
Any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
No, just a short presentation.
Thank you.
The application before you is a joint application between Aiken Community Playhouse and the City of Aiken regarding the existing marquee sign centered on the playhouse and in front of you here. This marquee sign has the little plastic letters that you have to get the stick and you put up and take down. And what they are requesting is permission to vary that sign to allow an electronic reader board sign in the portion that identifies upcoming events, and as shown here. I went into a fair amount of detail in this because the board's not looked at electronic reader board signs before, with the exception of Citizens Park. And there were a number of ancillary issues that I addressed in the memorandum that more to tell you we looked at it and it's okay. And it has to do with the fact that the marquee is a non-conforming sign. We took careful look at the amount of signage on the face of the wall of the building. We have our standards with those. We took a careful look at the illumination standards in the electronic portion of our sign code, and I've attached a copy of those standards for your benefit. What the applicant is requesting is to take the electronic reader board, which is permitted on a freestanding sign, and to have it on their wall-mounted marquee sign. That's the first variance request. The second variance request is to allow the illumination standard for downtown to be waived so that they can then meet the electronic reader board illumination standards. What I'd like to do is take a moment and explain how that works. For an electronic digital sign, it is actually brighter during the day and then it dims down at night, and that's because the sign is competing against the strong daylight. And then at night, when you have more contrast, the sign will automatically dim down, which is in place to prevent the glare and the distraction that otherwise might occur. We also, in looking at this, calculated the little dark spots on each side of the sign because that's part of the change of the sign face. You're familiar with our requirement that if you change more than 80% of a sign face, the whole sign needs to come into compliance, and the applicant is well below that. So the application before you is to have an electronic reader board sign, 26 feet long, 7 3/4 feet tall, to locate on the existing marquee sign, to waive the internal illumination standards for the downtown business zone, and to specifically point out that the sign board has to meet all other applicable standards found in the zoning ordinance.
I guess you said a couple of things that I thought some time ago we made a suggestion to go back to the planning board and some recommendations back to council in terms of LED type lighting, and if they had looked at that, a couple of things that you mentioned about the ordinance for illumination would have been addressed, especially since there is a device there that's going to measure the amount of light and not as much, not give it as much light during the day, increase it at night, and vice versa, that the illumination part of the ordinance would not be, would have to be addressed by us. And I had another concern in terms of whether or not I saw something where they did present something to council, but they only addressed freestanding signs and not signs on boards. As a matter of fact, this site is non-conforming, and if you are freestanding sign, you cannot have an electronic sign on a non-conforming freestanding sign.
Well, I'm sorry, but I think if you're not changing more than 80% of the sign face, that you can.
Right. Okay.
On a freestanding sign.
I didn't see anything about wallboard signs in the new ordinance.
That's correct.
Right. Okay.
They were the Planning Commission spent some time and recommended City Council that we provide some of these electronic reader board options for freestanding signs. Now, the applicant is before you because in their situation, they are unable to have a freestanding sign. There's sort of a inherent design conflict when you're downtown because the guidelines, the design guidelines, encourage buildings to be close to the street, which would prevent a freestanding sign when that occurs. So you have sort of a situation where if you're going to abide by those guidelines, you sort of preclude yourself from some other sign options in the future.
Right. I guess my concern is future business for us, that we shouldn't have to deal with something that could be corrected with a change in the ordinance.
I don't, because it's... And we can certainly pass that recommendation on to Planning Commission. Since they just adopted this ordinance, I think they would want to wait and see how it plays out and if there's any other tweaks that need to be done.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to know, when the Planning Commission reviewed this and sent it to City Council, why did they specifically ignore wall-mounted signs? Or did they? Now, the new guidelines only apply to freestanding signs. It was specific and intentional, I believe.
I'm Tommy Paradise, the interim planning director and the zoning official. And when we got into that, a wall-mounted sign can be 20% the front face of the building, 25% side and wall. We looked at Academy Sports and the side of that and thought, okay, a quarter of that could be an LED sign. And it got bogged down in discussions. And basically the sign guy or sign guys that was involved in it put me to the side and said, where are we going with this? I said, well, what do y'all want? And they said, well, what we're asking for, the business community, what they're asking for is basically to take the reader board signs on a freestanding sign and be able to make it digital. It won't, the 60%, all that stuff that went along with it, they were fine with. They just wanted to be able to put a digital reader board on a freestanding sign. So that's where the discussion stopped. And that's why we did, we strayed back away from wall signs.
So the whole study and proposal was just to satisfy the need, let's say, for the Citizen Park Reader Board?
No, sir.
No?
It wasn't just for the Citizen Park Reader Board. It was the business community and the sign companies, more of the business community saying, hey, we need to use this we want to be able to use this technology. And what is a reasonable use of this technology where we don't take away the aesthetics of the city We don't look like Las Vegas riding down Whiskey Road. Not too big, but large enough to meet their needs. We never, something like this in downtown, to be honest with you, when we was talking about it, we didn't think about it.
We didn't think about it.
We were thinking about Whiskey Road, Pine Log Road, Richland Avenue, you know, your major highway corridors.
I don't know if this should go to Tommy or to Sandra, but all right, so they are not, electronic reading boards are not only not zoned for wall mounted signs,
correct,
but are they even downtown business zone? They're not even allowed for, are they? Because it seems like there's almost another variance that's going to be requested here.
Well, I think you pointed something out that perhaps wasn't looked at originally, which is that you can have freestanding signs downtown, and therefore you can have an electric reader board on that freestanding sign, but you're going to run into the illumination problem.
But it says electronic reader board is subject to the following. Such signs are allowed.
There is
business, light industrial, and LM.
Mm-hmm.
Plan commercial, plan institutional, plan residential zones through approval of concept plan. School,
yes,
church, government entity. So, whether it's on a wall or if it was a freestanding, is it even allowed in the downtown? It's not.
I couldn't say that it would be.
Yeah. So we almost need another. If we're going to proceed with this, we almost need a third variance here to allow. But that's going to open it up to downtown business district as a whole, would it not?
That's a good point. It's a good point. I would have to say, though, when you look in there, that if this was in a residential area, it'd be allowed. But it's not allowed.
I'm not saying it shouldn't be allowed in the downtown business district if done properly. I'm just saying, technically, though, we need another variance here, don't we?
I don't disagree. Yes. I think you're correct. I missed out.
I think we're going to... Let me go. I think we're going to have to deal with the orders of the day, which is their application. But I think you hear us loud and clear that apparently they didn't go for enough, that we got half a loaf.
Yes.
And we need to go back. So you hear where we are coming from, that most of downtown is wall signs.
Yes.
Rather than freestanding signs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So let's... continue your presentation on the orders of the day. Next time. Tommy.
So, in conclusion, then, the unique circumstance is that in order to comply with the granted, the building was built before the guidelines were in place, but they were aware of the fabric of the downtown, so they built the building right on the property line, the front property line, and have, of course, a marquee wall mounted sign, and find that the changing venues and the fact that this theater is also used for community events, and the city also has the right to use it as a government entity, finds that they've been having some difficulty in changing out the identification of upcoming events, and therefore are requesting to have the electronic reader board sign.
Are they going to still abide by the other requirement about so many changes per...
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Questions to the city, Pat?
Well, yeah, I have a question. Will the applicant have a signed expert giving testimony?
No.
Well, then I'd like to call the planning director back up, or you, if I'm a little confused. You know, we're talking about clip candles, you know, measured from light meters.
Yes.
You know, at a specific distance, and I think in this case it's like 142 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And how this relates to, I mean, we're talking about lumens and foot candles, which I understand, but how does that translate to exceeding 60 watts?
Well,
In other words, to what extent will 60 watts exceed 0.3 foot candle as measured at by a light meter 142 feet away?
I understand. I think I understand your question.
I hope you do.
The intensity coming out of the sign, is it going to be greater than 60 watts, those lights? And I don't know, to be honest with you.
But the ordinance, it doesn't specify watts.
Right. Correct. Because of the way this is measured, this is the standard formula that we got from the same manufacturers of the signs of how to measure the intensity, so that because you have the light, you have the photocell in there measuring the intensity of the light. So you've got to measure the background light and then to have it all played in there. And I have to pull that formula out and work with it a little bit if I need it.
I guess asking my question in a different way, and instead of saying it would exceed 60 watts, my question is exactly, to what extent would it exceed 0.3 foot candles?
I'm looking at foot candles right now.
It wouldn't.
Because that's what the
I mean, the 0.3 foot candles above ambient is measured using a foot candle meter.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's what's in the ordinance.
Yes. No, it will comply with that.
It will comply with that.
Correct.
Then we don't need a variance. It will comply with that.
I'm sorry, Pat. I'm jumping in here. Sorry. Is the 60 watt, is that more of a sign cabinet?
Sign cabinet.
Yeah, I think we've mixed an apple and an orange here. With the requirement, because I'm with board member Pat and Eddie in that the variance should be to the. Well, I don't think there needs to be a variance, because I think the sign manufacturer will specify all the foot candle information that you need. I think the variance on this is for a sign cabinet backlit illumination. So where you have, you know, a graphic that's being backlit by light.
Yeah.
Right.
There are references to wattage and illumination and brightness for that. That will not pertain to a true electronic reader board. Foot candle definitions will. So I don't know that that's even.
In that event, when the board makes a motion, should it be in favor, it would be helpful to note that second variance is not applicable.
Yeah, that's what they were.
That second standard is not applicable.
Right. And I'm just guessing on that, but I think that's where the wattage and the cool light or soft glow bulbs come into play.
You are absolutely correct.
Yeah,
and it's really apples and oranges.
It is.
Now, where did this come from? You know, this exceeding 60 watts.
That's for backlit sign cabinets, because when you're illuminating a graphic, there's different bulbs, wattage, and whether it's cool light so that is a specific thing that does need to be followed. It's just not applicable to a true electronic, you know, pixelated digital measurement.
In this case, illumination is specified as 0.3.
It needs to go back to the foot candle, and I don't think there needs to be a variance there, because I think they'll be within that variance, or they'll be within that specificity. You can do that to order.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And as the ambient light, gets darker.
I think that's what we were addressing initially, that the ordinance needs to be revisited because it will cover these items.
Now, the ordinance is, as it relates to that, I think the ordinance was written fine. I just think a variance to something that doesn't need to be, I don't think that one needs to be in there.
Right.
In other, I don't think the second variance is even a requirement for what the Playhouse's type of signage they're going for. If they're going for a true backlit sign cabinet of some difference than, and it was going to exceed 60 watts and use different types of bulbs and backlit capability, then you might need a variance in this particular section. But I think what really is before us is whether you need a freestanding, whether you can have an electronic message board that's not on a freestanding sign, variance one, and potentially you need, can you allow a message board in downtown business district zoning, period, which is not the second variance that I think should be on here.
Yeah. Any further questions to the city? And then do I have to call up the city as a property owner? Do we have others to speak to this variance request?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Furman Whatley. I'm Executive Director of the Board of Directors of the Aiken Community Playhouse. And I'm here to answer your questions as best I can, waving the flag that I am not a technical sign expert.
Thank you. A question from the board.
I have one. Other than that flat two-dimensional rendering, my question was, is there any sort of 3D rendering that shows how the flat message board goes into your curve? I like to see that whole, I understand your installer is going to fabricate something to place that in. I get all that, but I'm trying to follow the curvature. And in other words, is the marquee going to curve out? Is your header going to curve out? Do you have an inset sign, or
it's going to be flat? So what's going to fill in the sides?
The installer said they would build panels out, then the panels would then smooth back into the wall. So it will be protruding, but the panels on each side of the sign will, as far as possible, pick up the curve from that point, as I understand
it would,
but the sign itself is going to be flat across.
That would be
not
flat. It's got to be flat. But yeah. This really needs a bit of a 3D rendering to really see what that whole deal
is
going to look like.
The panels will follow the curve, but the reader board portion will be flat.
Flat across.
Inset.
Yes.
Okay.
So I guess the curve, what you're saying is that at the apex of the curve, you're going to put a flat panel, is basically what's going to happen. Am I thinking of that right?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Other questions from the board? Thank you.
May I just say a couple of things?
You bet, you bet.
While this is definitely new technology for the Playhouse technical world, and as I've learned tonight for downtown Aiken, I would propose this might be a good model for other businesses that would come down. What the Playhouse is proposing here is really to make a very conservative use of this kind of technology, but still, it will be a great improvement over what we have now, both in labor, as you've read, and also an ability to actually publicize events better than we can now. This is a very labor-intensive task to change the current sign letter by letter, person by person. For example, 2 weeks ago, the Playhouse USC Aiken and the City of Aiken sponsored the South Carolina Theater Festival mm-hmm. here. We had four different theaters coming in and doing their shows in the space of 2 days. We could not change the current sign fast enough to welcome those theaters, announce their show. As the bookings become more intense, some weekends, we could promote three things at once over time. And that's what I want to get to. I think it's already been mentioned. We want to avoid a Las Vegas Strip kind of look for these kind of signs. And our board, actually, when we brought this up to them, said it's got to be tasteful, and they put some limitations on it, which are, again, going with what we thought was your current sign ordinance. We were kind of surprised that we could change it every 10 seconds. our proposal would be that we would, you know, assuming there are three events in a weekend, we would probably have the sign on one event for 30 minutes or more, then change to the next event and the next event. It would not be a flashy, zippy kind of look. In fact, on weeks where the Playhouse is the only activity going on in the building, we would keep that sign probably on for that one show, as you would see here, for the length of the time, because we want people to know who's running that show. So as a, if you need a model for how these things could be used productively but tastefully, what the Playhouse is proposing to use on this one, I would ask you to consider as maybe a star in our favor. I, as of tonight, developed a greater appreciation for how much you have to juggle to approve requested changes. But honestly, I do realize there are a couple of technical hiccups we need to explain a little further. But as a model for how these signs could be used, I think what we're proposing would be beneficial to both the city, the Playhouse, and downtown Aiken.
We appreciate the comments.
I have a question. If this variance were granted, there's nothing specific in here written about how frequently the sign could be changed, other than it says not more than every 10 seconds. And I heard what you said. What's the maximum number of events you might need to advertise at one point?
It varies. If we had two shows, one on a Friday night, a different show on a Saturday night, we'd probably want to rotate those throughout the week for folks who would be driving by and maybe would buy tickets. But the time frame.
Could you say that the message would not change more than blank? Can you come up with a?
We could.
What would that be? I mean, what do you propose?
I don't know of any advertising studies that said, here's the precise exact amount of time to get the best audience or the biggest audience in. But I would just off the top, and again, knowing that I'm under penalty of law, this is just a guess. I'd say 30 minutes per image, per show, and then change to another, and then change to back every 30 minutes or so. It could wiggle some, but we're not looking for flashing. I know it's not in the city, but the new storage facilities on Richland further down near the Walmart. I've been watching their sign a lot. I've noticed since we appeared at the design review board and talked about how flashy theirs was. Theirs is not as flashy anymore. They're holding their images a lot longer now and not bouncing them in anymore. We would not be changing anywhere near that often. Again, we want an attractive sign to draw the eye to it and read our message for as long as possible, and that flashing it doesn't give us that. It'd still be, in our view, a really nice but relatively static display.
So the message would not change more than once every 30 minutes?
Again, I'm picking that number out, but I think we could certainly do very good advertising for our events and city events with that schedule. But
well, I think the whole intent, though, is just not having the flashing sign idea. And I hear what you say. It might vary if you've got more than two venues going on. You might need to shorten that period of time. But
yeah.
I hear you.
Okay.
Not going to be Times Square.
No, we don't want that much competition. We are Aiken's community theater, and we like it that way.
Brent?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Another question.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I would encourage you not to pigeonhole yourself with the requirement of how often it's going to change, but I'm kidding. I don't think right now the board's going to ask for anything other than what the regulation says, or
I don't know. I don't think I'd approve it if it were going to change every 10 seconds.
Okay.
That's just my, they have those in Columbia, and they're distracting, very distracting to the driver.
I can speak to that with some solidity, and that our board, before we embarked on this process, said they did not want it to be tacky. Plus, we want our message up as long as possible. So the longer a message is up, the happier we'll be. But there will be times, and I don't want to mislead or just slip of the tongue that may be misunderstood. On some weeks, we could have three events booked into that building, a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or a Sunday. We would want the option to change each of those events as one ends, the next one would go up. So that would be possible, and it may be, over, again, without picking a time, because nothing's magic about 30 minutes, but maybe we would want to rotate through the next two events, over the next 12 hours.
Yeah, you're also going to want upcoming stuff coming up.
Yes.
As well. Now, I commend the Playhouse for trying to trying to put up something that I think will be not only more effective in communicating what's going on, give you more versatility. I think it'll also look good if it's done right. Question I had, and I think if I'm reading the zoning ordinance correctly, and I may have to call the city back up on this, when it says that there's no plan for video, I'm assuming? No.
No.
Because these boards will do video and playback and all that kind of stuff.
They will. We've talked to the folks who do our graphic work, and the only thing they've said is you need to have high-quality images if you want it to be read well. So we're thinking more in static and print-type images than video.
Okay. I have no further questions.
And it wouldn't go like this, you know, lighting up. It would just be static.
That's our plan, yes. The technology will allow that now, but that's not the way we're proposing to operate it.
And the standard wouldn't allow it. You can't have moving panels.
Well, not that the panel would move, but if
well,
the lights
yeah,
came
the concept
on here
is it can't be moving around like that.
I'm assuming that's what disqualifies video.
Mm-hmm.
Video probably should have specifically been mentioned, but
yeah.
I'm assuming the animation and movement broadly encompasses video, right?
The signs will do that, but that's not our proposal. We just want to be able to do that.
And it's not allowed in the standards.
But certainly pictures, I'm assuming, would be okay, or right?
We understand static pictures like that image yeah. with text is what we want, yes.
Any further questions from the board to Mr. Sherman?
Yeah, just to clarify, the new ordinance says, item B, the message may not change more than once every 10 seconds in an instantaneous manner with no flashing, scrolling, animation, or movement of any sort, which would be the change of the panel.
Right.
But unless we specify otherwise, the ordinance does allow for a change every 10 seconds.
Thank you. Do we have others to speak to the variance request?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Jimmy Moore. I'm with the Playhouse as well. And to answer your question, Mr. Doherty, the sign, we don't have a 3D picture, unfortunately, but the top where it says Aiken Community Playhouse will continue to come out, and the bottom piece will as well. It's a black piece that comes out, and the sign will sit back from the tip of that back 18 inches at the most. So where it'll come out 2.5, I think it's 25 inches on the side, will still curve, and then as it goes across, the deepest back from the front would be 18 inches on that. And then as far as if it is a matter as far as changing the sign, I think we would be okay. One of the nice things about this is that we can do it. It doesn't have to be the picture. We can do it where it's just the words, and so we could put the Music Man this weekend and then change the font size so that other shows that are coming up on the weekend we could have at the bottom and in the corners possibly, so that if you said we couldn't change it but once a day, we could still have all the shows up there and be okay with that. We don't want it to scroll. We don't want it to change constantly. We want it to be classy. I've lived in Aiken my entire life and love downtown Aiken, and I want it to stay downtown Aiken. I don't want it to be Las Vegas. So we definitely don't want that. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions from Ms.
What is the length of the reader board portion?
The reader board is 4 feet 11 inches, I believe.
4 feet 11?
No, it's 11 feet. It's 11 feet. It's right. four feet high. Right. It's 11 feet
wide. 11 feet.
Did your sign people think there'd be any problem with seeing, like, the words, like the M, and if it's set back, with that curve coming out?
No, that's why it is.
It's going to give you contrast and shadow.
Yeah, that's why those black panels are there.
But if I'm driving down the street, you think some of it's going to be cut off by that curved panel?
No, it's 160 degree view.
I just make sure that y'all, the guarantee you can see that sign.
Yeah. Any further questions for Ms. Moore? Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have others to speak to the variance request?
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to, I'm thinking of rafters right now, and I want to make sure that what the board is thinking of is what you approve or disapprove. And this is just really the second step in a three-step project. After they leave here, then if the variance is approved tonight, then they go to the design review board. So while Mr. Moore explained how that is sitting, the design review board, they've met with them in work session, and there were some discussions of how to fit that and configure it. So I don't want you to be misled by what Mr. Moore said if it comes to be something a little bit different, if you understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Thank you. Final call. Others who speak to the variance request? Seeing, hearing none, the chair would entertain a motion so we can enter a period of discussion.
May I ask a question of Ms. Corbett before?
Yes.
Ms. Corbett. all of the conditions right here, have we discussed anything that would not be appropriate in there now?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because I got the dimensions wrong on number one. I inserted the size of the length of the marquee sign.
Okay.
And so the first thing I'd like to do is request the board to, on condition one, if they choose to go that route, the LED sign is really roughly 11 feet long. It's a little bit longer than that. And I was just dividing 12 into 41. So it's roughly 3.5 feet tall.
That is 4 feet, 2 inches or something.
It's 41 inches.
41 inches?
So that's what I have on the exhibit. LED sign measures 41 inches tall, 135 inches wide.
See, I'm looking at exhibit. Exhibit B, third page.
Yes, that's what I'm looking at.
Artwork is conceptual and is drawn to approximate scale. Detronics, display technology, galaxy, such and such. Cabinet dimensions 4 foot 2 inches by 11 foot 10 inches by 8 inches.
I was looking at the larger font that says LED sign measures 41 inches tall, 135 inches wide.
That may be the display, and the overall cabinet may be slightly larger. I don't.
That would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be. We could go with cabinet dimensions of 4 feet 2 inches by 11 feet.
Yeah,
10
that's
inches.
That's. Just, I think you have a display size and then a cabinet size. As you'll know, that's about six additional inches all the way around for.
So that would be the length under condition one should be altered to read 11 feet 10 inches.
Yeah.
And the width or height, I don't know which, would be 4 feet 2 inches.
4.2.
And
why don't we say approximately then?
I always say approximately.
Yeah, approximately 11 feet 10 inches long and 4 foot 2 inches tall or high.
Yeah. And then moving on through the rest of these conditions, it's possible that the board may feel that internal illumination is not applicable, and we'll state that. And then for safety's sake, let's add the variance that would allow electronic reader board in the downtown business zone.
So you're saying number two should be taken out?
Number two should be taken out, and replaced with allowing the electronic reader board in the downtown business zone.
But I thought we...
But we want to mention...
That internal illumination is not applicable.
Right, and so we're... But we need to actually say that, just because it would make us happy, the staff happier, to know that you looked at it and you felt it didn't apply.
So you're saying number two should be left in.
You don't need to vary it, okay, but you just need to say it's not applicable.
Yep.
The section 4.11H3, internal illumination standards are not applicable.
They're not applicable.
Right. Now, with those corrections, we do need a motion.
Okay, I'd like to move that we approve application number 15-93007 with the following conditions. Approval for an approximately 11-foot, 10-inch long and 4-foot, 2-inch tall electronic reader board to locate on existing marquee sign as conceptually depicted on Exhibit B, page 3. That the section 4.11H3 is not applicable. That electronic reader board is allowed in downtown. The electronic reader board sign shall meet all other applicable standards found in the zoning ordinance, and the final order is recorded in the Aiken County RMC office.
Second. It's been properly moved and second that we approve the variance request. Do we have any discussion?
Do we need to say anything that if the design review board needs to make?
No.
They can be locked into anything?
No. Except they have their own criteria that they discuss and approve too, so we don't give them directions.
Mr. Chairman, I think that this addition certainly will enhance our downtown area, and I know it'll be done tastefully because the Aiken Playhouse is famous for that.
Do we have any other discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. The motion is carried unanimously. Application 15-92002 will not be heard tonight. It has been withdrawn. Application 15-92002 will not be heard tonight. It has been withdrawn. I call your attention to application 15-93008, a request for variance request for an off-premise sign and associated variances at 131 Lauren Street Southwest, in zone DB and Old Aiken Overlay to the city. Has this been properly posted?
Yes, it has.
Any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
No, just a short presentation.
Thank you.
The Fresh Store, which is a downtown business store, recently moved from 135 Lawrence Street to 131 Lawrence Street, and they would like to move their wall sign onto their new tenant space. And at the time they signed the lease, they believed that their tenant space included this portion here. But found out after moving in that the City of Aiken actually owns the two supporting buttresses that appear to hold up that building's wall. And you have in your packet a staff photograph that shows the, and that would be Exhibit D in the back. It kind of tries to show the buttresses. It was hard to distinguish them with the solid white wall. And then also tries to show how from front to back the building seems to depend on support. And this is just visually, but from property and construction on the Aiken City side. So technically, that portion of the facade is actually city property and the dividing property line is right between these two items here. Visually, it looks like it's all one facade. And the applicant thought so. And to be honest, the city thought so until the applicant told us it wasn't. So there is a permission from the assistant city manager for this application to move forward, and from the building owner, and the tenant is here to represent their request. One of the things we look at is always what would happen if this application is turned down. What are the resources available, in this case, to mount a sign? And you can see from this exhibit that there is very minimal space between the top of the molding over the window and the next set of windows. The previous tenant, which I think was Tea Gardens, had their sign on the awning here. But the applicant would prefer to use their wall-mounted sign and does not want to use the awning sign. They're not in a position right now to move forward with that, and again, it's owned by the building owner. So the applicant is requesting permission to move their wall-mounted sign from 135 Lawrence Street to 131 Lawrence Street, which is technically an off-premise sign since it would be mounted on the buttress supporting their wall. There is no illumination to it. It's single letters, metal letters, and the calculation for the size includes the ginkgo leaf, which is their logo.
Any questions to the city?
You got me a little confused there. You said there was minimal space above the windows on the wall of the tenant's space.
I'm speaking about the area between here, which is the molding, and here, which is the upstairs.
How about the whole space where the present structure is that used to hold the awning?
They'd have to put the awning up and use that.
Or take the structure down, put it right behind the structure where they have a sign now.
This is windows, I believe.
No, it isn't. It's all wood.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. That's why you got me when you said there were minimal space. Same space that goes across is used by the hardware store and everything else along that block.
Okay.
Thank you.
So if you take the frame down, the awning frame down, are you saying behind that frame is wood?
Oh, yeah, it's all wood. It's the same thing that's by the hardware store. In fact, they've got a sign, a temporary sign, just a banner sign now. It's got panels, but it's all wood. It's just not a good photo because you've got the shadow back there.
Other questions to the city?
Yes, please. This has nothing to do with this application, but why is there a wall there with a door coming into it? Beside the building. I mean, that's on Exhibit D.
I wonder what the history was of the lot where the city's administrative offices were. What may have appeared on that lot prior that, you know, may have been torn down. And that may be a remnant of what was left.
I can tell you what was there before the current structure. And that was
the old State Bank and Trust building, which came out to where the other storefronts are.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it looked similar to what possibly was the old F&M Bank building. But nevertheless, it was an ornate building, but it came out all the way to the front.
And that's a remnant of it, or maybe something they had to replace when they tore down the building to interface with the building next door.
Right.
Maybe it provided some structural support that was absent when they tore the building down.
Without getting into the other building.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Standard, I understand where that wording is now, and the Ginkgo leaf, I guess it is, and the wording refresh. That's going to be moved over, or that's going to be smaller?
Well, this is what they want to do. It's not up yet.
Okay, this is what they want to do, is mm-hmm. this right here.
Yes.
Okay.
It's all blank now.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not...
They would have that much space, whatever space that is, they would have that whole space without encroaching on...
Is this...
Without encroaching on the 135 Lawrence. This is 131 Lawrence,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, and then to the immediate left, and including the buttress that the facsimile is on for the sign, is all city property. And then 135 is across the street on Hain, across Hain.
And if this were approved by zoning, all the powers to be in the city have said this is okay?
They have permission from the city, yes.
Okay.
If you look at Exhibit C, perhaps that would help you identify the parcels. The outline in blue is the subject property. And then the City Administration and Finance Building is immediately adjacent to the south. And then across... Hain is where their store used to be.
Exhibit B show that it no interference with the city building in that open area and the benches and the trees and
yes.
the park type sitting in front of the building.
Yes.
Other questions for the city?
I'm just curious, this is a real picture because it looks like underneath the awning is white in this picture.
Yeah, if you look at it, that's wood, and it extends across the entire structure. That is what I was talking about.
Well, but what I heard Ms. Kovalik say is that the awning frame actually belongs to the owner of the building, and there may be a problem there.
Well, they're renting the building. They're renting the awning frame, too. Unless you leave it off, it's an attachment.
Mm-hmm. And maybe it's, you know.
Other questions to the city? Thanks, Sandra. Mr. or Mrs. Jerome, both?
Bring him up for moral support, right?
Hello, my name is Tony Jerome, and this is my husband Michael, and we are applying for this variance in hopes that you'll allow us to move our visually already approved sign over to our new location in what appears to be a perfect location for it. And we do have the owner of the building's approval, and we do have the City of Aiken's approval. So we're hoping for yours.
Is this an existing sign that you took from the other location?
It's actually still on the other location.
Oh, and you're planning to reuse it.
Oh, has it come down? Well, it just must have just come down.
Is it one piece or all the letters?
No, they're all individually.
They're all individually, and
yes.
they are just attached to the wall.
Yes.
Had you thought about attaching it to the area above?
Well,
the,
I have thought about that, but if we choose to put an awning up, then the sign would not be visible.
Of course, if you put an awning up, you can put refresh on the awning.
We could put it on the awning, but we already own the other sign, and it's just such a good-looking sign. And I know that you can't have both. You can't have it on the building and on the awning.
So your reason for asking for the variance is because you want to reuse your sign that you had on the other building?
Yes, sir.
other questions from the board?
Yeah, I have one. What's your plan for the awning hardware that's stuck there? Is it to leave it that way?
Well, at the moment, we have no plans for it because we don't know how this is going to come out. But
we'll do it both ways. Let's say you're granted the variance and you can put the sign up. What's your
plan?
Then
we would simply put a simple awning up when we can afford to do that. Then it would, you know, it would be exactly on the frame that's already there.
Okay, and
With no signage on it.
Right. And the variance isn't granted, you would still probably pursue it. Well, at that point, would either pursue an awning or look at the...
I don't know. I guess we would take that one step at a time.
Okay. But I guess what I'm getting at is taking... Let's say you had no interest in an awning, regardless of... do you perceive taking the hardware to the awning down a problem?
No, I would not, because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the building owner. And she, I'm not sure whether she would allow us to take it down, but...
It's just hardware. It's just...
Yeah, it is just hardware. Yeah.
And you go back up with a new tenant who wants to use
possibly
an awning. It's, yeah, it's, no, it, it will. I mean, I put a few up in my day. Okay, no further questions.
Any further questions from the board? Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Final call.
Actually, I did think of another question.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Can I get you back up? Yes. Can you describe the lettering that you have now that you're trying to transfer over to this position?
Describe it as
what is it?
How is it made?
Is it three-dimensional vinyl? Is it structural or is
steel.
It vinyl? Or
it's steel.
Okay, so they're cut letters.
It's cut letters.
They're cut letters, and your logo is a cut.
Correct.
Okay. And you simply are just controlling the spacing of the lettering based on the platform that you have to mount it to, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so would you perceive a problem on taking those same letters and going straight across where your awning hardware is? Would there be any particular reason why those would not attach to the what is wood, paneled wood?
Well, they're paneled, so we wouldn't know where they would lie, the letters would lie then. We haven't figured that.
Another thing that I would perceive is that if that awning frame was still there, it certainly would be difficult to read a sign through it.
No, you'd want to take the awning frame down.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that would certainly be a prerequisite to doing that. And if you eventually want to go with an awning, then simple lettering on the awning is no problem either. Okay. No further questions. Thank you.
That raises one more question. Then the dimensions shown, if we approve the sign, we are approving a 3 foot wide by 17 and a quarter foot long sign. That's the area that the sign would be in. Y'all don't see a problem with, say, staying within that plane, if you will, or that
if it's
plane.
Shown vertically.
Okay, and that's what you have there now.
Yes,
right.
Sir.
Okay. Yeah. Mr.
Chairman.
Ms. Cornwick, in the event that they sell the business or they move out, or who's going to be responsible for getting that off the city wall?
They would be responsible for removing it, and if should there be any form of damage, they would be responsible for.
And that's all
correcting
worked out
it.
With the city already.
I'm sorry, I wasn't with Stuart when he signed the permission slip, but I'm positive that we will make sure they do that.
Okay. Because I don't want an expense to come to the city to have redo that.
So any approval would be limited to the current owners. If they move, sell, blah, 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 they have to remove the sign.
Thank you.
Okay. Glad you're coming up to have a question.
Maybe I should have brought the book. I'm Tommy Paradise, the zoning official.
Back in the day when I messed with signage, the city had some sensitivity to allocating any of its space to any particular proprietor. We talked about mounting banners up for nonprofits in city space, and gee, was that fair when one business could take advantage of it? And some, what's your opinion of using city property to help advertise a business?
I think the assistant city manager has answered that for the city.
Okay.
That's not a position for me to take or have an opinion of. The I wasn't privy to
that. I thought maybe you were in that conversation, but you weren't. Okay.
One thing that I wanted to note, though, is that in the possible conditions, and I go back to the trusses, on the possible conditions as it depicted on Exhibit B, this still has to go through the DRB, the Design Review Board. It's scheduled to go there next Tuesday night. So the DRB may want to finagle, with the design a little bit, and I would hate to see them trapped into something if y'all were happening to prove it.
Weren't they under that at their other location?
They were.
And they approved it at the other location?
They approved it at the other location as a wall site, and they may very well approve it here. It's just, I wanted to mention that. So if there was some difference, say, and what difference could it be? But say they didn't want the green leaf on the top and approved everything else. Is that conceptually the same? I just want to make sure that we don't end up with a position like trusses, that what you think you're approving gets tweaked a little bit and it's not what actually goes up there.
Yeah. Thank you. The chair would now entertain a motion so we can enter into a discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve application 15-93008, approval for a 3-foot wide by 17.25-foot long sign as depicted on Exhibit B with no illumination for the refresh store to locate on an off-site buttress contiguous to and touching the storefront, and the final order be recorded at the Aiken County RMC office.
I second.
It's been properly moved and second that we approve the variance request. Do we have any discussion?
I'd like to make a comment, Mr. Chairman. I don't see how we can possibly approve this, because it just doesn't meet the criteria, simply because a variance should not be necessary, because the applicant has at least two very common and usable alternatives for mounting a sign on their own property. Now, I mean, this isn't a big intrusion on city property, but it's just a question of, do you really need a variance? Can you put a sign on your own property? And very clearly, a sign can be mounted above the windows. Removing or not removing the hardware, I would certainly remove the hardware so it doesn't interfere with the viewing of the sign, or replacing the awning with a refresh on it. It's the same signage that appears on all the other businesses on that block, either above the windows or on awning signs.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Board Member Paternetti's assessment, because I think, I'm certainly conscious of the fact they already have lettering, but I think it's reusable. I think they can put it up, because I specifically went by to see what was underneath the awning area, and there's a perfect spot to mount those existing dimensional lettering there if they choose not to go with the awning. Taking the hardware on and off shouldn't be an issue with either the owner if they decide to do an awning later on, the awning company would certainly take care of putting up the hardware and the awning and any new graphic that would go on there. So, and while the city has made the decision to allow use of its property for a particular business, I can tell you that's been a conflict before. Apparently, the interim manager's determined that it's not, but I don't think there's any reason to step into that gray area anyway. when there are suitable alternatives to mount either the existing lettering or doing something different.
Any further discussion? Hearing not, those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. Those opposed? Three to three. And the chair ruled that the variance request loses because it did not get more than a majority. So the variance request is denied.
We don't need to have a rediscussion. No. Okay.
It's already voted on. It's already been voted on.
Yeah.
Now, just so the board knows, that the only way to recall that would be if a member voting in favor
calls for.
I don't know what you do with a tie.
And that's Robert Rules.
Yeah.
3-3 on a motion to approve is a denial.
Oh, we're talking about recall.
Yeah.
The bylaws state that a member who
voting in the affirmative.
In the affirmative.
Can ask for,
yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you do with a tie.
So is that means you could bring it back up for discussion?
Can I bring it back up for discussion?
If you voted affirming it.
She's for it. So she can bring it back up for discussion. And we could have another vote. She wants to try to persuade and change her vote.
Is that legal?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Robert's rules.
Okay, good. Well, let's look at it this way. What we want to do is encourage downtown business. And we know from past experience that this is a business that has contributed to the downtown success.
For many years.
For many, many years. What difference does it make going up there and down there if the city says it is okay? I don't understand what, and I think I hear them saying they eventually would like to have an awning, but the time is not right to have an awning. So why can't we go ahead and let this take them over for a period of time, and then they can come back and decide whether to do the awning with a name on it or leave the name there. But we do want to encourage downtown businesses, and I don't see anywhere where actually it's... there are extraordinary exceptional conditions, because what other building downtown has that much space on it that belongs to somebody else? That's certainly one that it meets.
But that's just it. It's not on their building.
It's what?
You're saying whether the building downtown has that space on its building.
It's, but it's not their building. That's what I'm saying. That's certainly an extraordinary condition. That is, and so it certainly meets number one. And then it certainly doesn't apply to anybody else in town like that we know of. It's certainly not the, because they don't want to put up an awning right now, can't put up an awning right now. That's not necessarily the result of their own actions. You know, like I say, I think we just need to support downtown business, and we need to make it so that people want to stay downtown. And we certainly need, Aiken is so unique, and it's downtown because we don't have those big box stores, that we need to do, as any group supporting Aiken, we need to support it.
I think they're downtown and they're moving to a larger location downtown because they're successful downtown and they're
exactly,
happy,
that's what
and
I'm
they're
saying.
Happy there.
That's what I'm saying. So we need to encourage that. And by them moving to another building has been occupied. Another space has been occupied.
But you have the opportunity.
Yep. Would a time frame be acceptable here, i.e. that this, it's approved for a period of time, not to exceed whatever it is, 24 months, 12 months,
and then it comes back up for review again? I mean, is there, is, again, I'm the newest one on this board, but that's be my question, is that can we say, yep, we'll approve it for a 12-month period, come back to us again, and we'll look at it one more time, and then keep, you know, evaluate at that time. Maybe they've had it so that they can now put an awning up with the sign on the awning, or take the framing down and put the sign up that way. That would be my
Well, one thing comment about it, though, that sign is so unique to their business that I think it represents their business.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see where they might not want to put the sign on the awning, but they may need an awning for protection later on. So I want to see them be able to leave that refresh there.
Well, I certainly want to support the business and supporting downtown businesses, and they've certainly been excellent proprietors in the past. They've been downtown Aiken business for a very long time.
Exactly.
And knowing when they were further down the street, but be that as it may, I agree with Ms. Turner as far as supporting the downtown businesses.
Granting the variance would not substantially conflict with the comprehensive plan and purposes of zoning ordinance. That's because it's down. We need to facilitate economic growth and business development. Also, 6, the ordinance is not going to substantially be a detriment to the adjacent property.
And there aren't any other properties downtown that are but to the city, I don't believe, that would want to use city space. It's not like we're opening a can of worms.
That's right.
One big point.
Okay.
A reason for granting off-site signs have always been because it was not possible for the applicant to put a sign on their own site, or the sign on their own site was ineffective because of the, you know, position where it was, you couldn't see it.
Right.
In this particular case, it's quite clear the applicant has at least 2 standard and well-used alternatives to put a sign up on their own site. Now, whether you like the
sign... Using the existing lettering.
Yeah. Or whatever, or putting an awning, you know, with refresh on it. To me, granting the variance because they want to use the same sign, as nifty as it may be, is not... It is not a reason to grant them the variance just because they want to reuse the same sign. It may be a good economic reason.
Maybe,
but it's not a good reason.
Okay,
I have to convince myself that they need the variance to put up a sign on their property.
Well, I think that specific sign has pinpointed who they are. If you saw it on Hayne Avenue.
We voted. Let's vote again, and I hope you'll accept whatever the outcome is. I will.
Okay.
I will call a time to the discussion on the revote. Those in favor of the motion show by raise of the right hand.
Come on, Larry.
Those opposed to the motion,
on,
same sign.
Okay. I admit defeat.
No. He didn't do the final vote. Which
not easily.
It's again a tie vote, and the variance request loses because it did not get more than 50%. Before I close the meeting, I'll ask for a motion to close. I want to take a minute to recognize our secretary to the board. And I would like to present from the board to the secretary a card that has been signed by all of the board members. And certainly, this is one of those few occasions where it's a pleasure and sadness.
Look at the camera.
You broke it,
no.
Mary.
Ready.
Go smile again, Mary.
I think you have to hold the button down a little bit, but don't push it all the way to give it the charge it needs.
All right, there you go.
You know they make phones for that.
I really presented her with the card from the board, but we also want to present her a certificate of appreciation.
Oh.
And it reads, to Sandra Korbelek, for your years of dedicated service to the Board of Zoning Appeals.
Group hug.
People down front might
want to
sit down.
Ladies.
Can
y'all get in here?
Yeah.
Someone on the other side.
Yeah, here in the back.
Okay. Yeah. On three, cheese.
Do they still say cheese?
One more.
Money?
Money. Put your finger down on that button and just hold it and don't press it all the way down.
Out of film.
Out of film.
Here we go. One, two, three.
Great.
My eyes are blessed.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
It's a good thing. Some of us can only hold our stomach in.
I didn't know you were crying.
No. You know, I'm moving sometime in the spring. I'll be back here partly part-time in January and February. And
so you're leaving now to go on a month's vacation?
I'm on a month's vacation.
Wow.
I'm on a month's vacation. Well, thank you. I get a real
hug.
You
get a real hug.
Real hug. I'm just saying, you're going to move to be in what city?
Denver.
Everybody, write down my cell number. 803-322-5222.
Okay.
And if you're ever in Denver,
my brother owns a house in Breckenridge. I'll be coming to visit.
Call me for a good time.